Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
And now I'd run right into hell and back. I would do it.
You either loved his music or you didn't.
I'll never lie to you.
The great Meatloaf has passed away at the age of 74. Woke up to that news this morning. Real name Michael Lee Adai. And there is a suggestion in the New York Post today and on TMZ that he died right after he was seriously ill with COVID. I got to see him. He was at the first concert I ever went to. He opened for Deep Purple in 1985. And I don't know if he was in the middle of his substance issues at the time.
Sure.
I don't know. He was incredibly talented. Amazingly entertaining, but damn, that was the first guy I ever saw, because he opened for Deep Purple. He's the first person I ever saw on a stage, and I was like, this rock and roll thing is intense.
I did not realize, number one, he was in his 70s.
74 years old, yeah.
And I did not realize how many copies of that album sold. I knew he was popular. I didn't know he was mega smash global popular.
Bad Out of Hell, which came out in 1978, and it's weird. His two biggest hit albums were written by a guy named Jim Steinman, who was sort of the Bernie Taupin to Elton John. Jim Steinman was to Meatloaf. He wrote a lot of the stuff, and Meatloaf sang it and made millions off of it. Jim Steinman just died last year. Meatloaf died today at the age of 74. Bad Out of Hell, which came out in 1978, sold 43 million copies. One of the biggest selling albums of all time. And then Bad Out of Hell 2, which was also written by Jim Steinman, came out in 93, and it sold 14 million copies and had that song, I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Wouldn't Do That. We never did find out what he wouldn't do. That's one of the great rock and roll mysteries, what he would not do.
Along with You're So Vain and Carly Simon, and who she wrote that song about, even though we
I always heard it was James Taylor.
Oh, I thought it was Warren Beatty.
See?
Or Mick Jagger. Who do you think it is?
I think it's James Taylor.
I don't know.
I thought she had said it was James.
Was Apricot. That's Warren Beatty.
I don't know enough of the lyrics to sit
here
and
checking himself in the mirror. I'm sorry, that's Warren Beatty. But anyway.
Are we doing a lyrical read right
yes,
now?
Yes, we are.
Well, I would do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that.
He had one eye in the mirror as he watched himself go by. That doesn't seem like James Taylor to me. That seems like Warren Beatty. Damn, you look good, Warren, said Warren.
Wow.
You know who thinks a lot about Warren Beatty? Warren Beatty.
Exactly. I know that we keep talking about fires on this program every day for the last several days, but there has been another one, and we actually have an update to a serious fire in Overland Park. This was off of 117th Antioch or Metcalf, I'll look. But Scott, listen to this, and there's a much bigger, wider story here. Officials are now saying that the battle against this apartment complex fire was, quote, made worse by a severe hoarding situation. And we talked the other day about the behavior in an apartment complex that could lead to the loss of life. Okay, so unattended cooking is number one. Careless smoking was number two. And space heaters was number three. I never even thought about hoarding. But if you have a neighbor who has that issue or disorder, however you want to frame it, when that house goes up in flames, it will take everything with it.
And this is the one in Overland Park?
Newspapers. Yes. Two police officers, Scott, have been hospitalized.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the headline.
And I don't know how you deal with this in an apartment situation. For the most part, with all the hoarding stuff that I have done stories on, it has been in homes. And they flag these homes in
KCK.
KCK in all of Northern Johnson County's fire district had a program to flag these homes. Like if they would go in on a difficulty breathing call and they would look around and see crap stacked floor to ceiling, they would put a notation in there that if there is ever a fire, stand back and watch it burn because it will. And it's a dangerous thing for firefighters, okay?
It's not illegal, though.
Well, but I would make the argument in an apartment complex, you are now exhibiting behavior that puts everyone around you at risk.
Yeah, but again, to the where do you draw the line?
I don't want to say inspect, but is there not an apartment manager at some point that would have gone in there and said, you cannot even walk through the door? This is why they flag these houses, Scott. We got two police officers.
Well, I understand.
Who are hurt.
They flag it for their own safety, though.
Yes.
They don't go door to door and say, hi, Mrs. Wright. I just want to peek in here real quick.
I noticed you have a lot of clutter. Do you mind cleaning that up?
And then run back to the firehouse and say, well, we knocked on Scott Parks' door. His house is pretty tidy. Dana Wright's wasn't. I know you're not that way, but I'm just using it as an example. It's not illegal behavior, but can an apartment complex do an annual inspection of your apartment? I mean, where do you draw the line between you got too much junk and you're hoarding? When I was in college,
I think you should be and can be kicked out for that.
I cleaned up apartments when people would move out, and I only saw one apartment that there was no question. This is a hoard. I mean, you couldn't even open the door. I don't even know how they got out.
There's an older lady that lives on my floor, and I helped her carry up her groceries one time, and she was adamant I leave them at the door.
Yep.
And I'm assuming it's because she had a
or something
a
in there she does not want you to see. And so this is, by the way, I looked this up just off of 117th and Schweitzer.
Okay.
And I'm assuming this is a nice complex. Hoarding has nothing to do with money. People have hoarded houses in Mission Hills, and then they just buy more houses to hoard. So it's silly to even look up, well, how nice was the apartment complex? It can happen anywhere.
That's a pretty decent neighborhood, but 117th and Schweitzer.
Yeah, just west of 69 Highway. Mm-hmm. I think that this is one of those issues. And if you manage an apartment complex, this is not a cleanliness issue. It's not any of that. It is a safety issue.
Yeah, it's like Tinder.
And you have the right to know, I think, if you're living next door to a place like this, I don't want to say it. You should be kicked out, but Scott, if you're in a house, for the most part, the safety of the firefighters is something we have to talk about if there was ever a fire, but you're not going to kill everyone around you with your hoarding.
But do
in an apartment complex, you can.
But is it even in the apartment contract?
I would love to know.
I mean, I'm sure they have, you can't destroy the property.
Right, or that it is maintained reasonably.
Define reasonably.
Well, not this house. Not this house.
And a lot of people would point out to you that hoarding is considered a mental disorder.
Yes.
So who gets to go in and say, listen here, Louise, we're going to deem your apartment to be hoarding. That's not a kick out of the apartment violation, but we're going to start forcing you to get rid of that.
But
and that,
no,
and
I,
that.
Don't you think, watch I don't the think show. That's how you look at it. I think you look at it like this is a codes violation. Don't look at it like the crap around you need to get rid of it. But that's not going to work. It's a codes violation.
But don't people who live in a neighborhood, let's say it's houses, or even if it's an apartment, you kind of know the hoarder. You know who the hoarder is.
I think some people hide it very, very well. And they stop letting family in. This is why this is an interesting conversation about the apartment. because the manager to that apartment or maintenance to that apartment would have access in a way that in your private home, you can keep people out.
I'm curious if in today's apartment contracts, if there's a clause
that you have to keep it reasonably
tidy or clean.
Not tidy. There's got to be another legal word for it.
You can't hoard junk.
Floor to ceiling, you cannot be a hoarder.
There can't be basically pathways through your apartment leading from the kitchen to the bedroom, and you can't see anything
else. How do you have that codified in an apartment contract?
And who gets to determine it? Are you going to go door
to
door
once
a year? It's
like porn. I know it when I see
it. I know. 576-7798. 576-7798. I'm sure we're going to hear from plenty of people who say, you know, I know the hoarder in my neighborhood, or I work for an apartment complex. In light of what happened in Overland Park today, two police officers were injured in an apartment fire. The apartment apparently was hoarded. I'd like to hear from those of you in firefighting as well. 576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. Don't forget, today is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances coming your way at 5 o'clock. Yeah, we'd be remiss if we don't also mention Louis Anderson, the comedian and actor, died today at the age of 68. We had just mentioned him on the show last week. He came up in conversation. Louis Anderson passing away today at the age of 68. We're talking about this fire earlier today in Overland Park, 117th and Schweitzer. Two police officers were injured in the fire. Turns out the apartment in question, at least according to reports that Dana has seen, was a hoarded apartment. And of course, that kickstarts a conversation about hoarding, which we've had years ago on the show. Tom in Olathe. Tom, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
So I was just going to add that, being a hoarder is actually kind of it's categorized as a disability. So there's it's kind of a gray area as in cleaning. So typically, I work maintenance in apartments, and typically we like do annual inspections, or we do filter changes and then check for cleanliness and stuff like that. And we would give out notices if they were extremely filthy or, but when it comes to hoarding, it's kind of a gray area. We can ask them to straighten up, you know, to make paths through their rooms and stuff, but
I never thought about that, Tom, because it is classified as a mental disorder, whether you agree with that or not. And so but then it gets back to that behavior affects those around you and the health and the safety of those around you.
Yeah, potentially, yes. But like as an individual unit, when we go through these apartments and stuff, we do battery checks for smoke detectors and all that other stuff like that. So, that helps with, if there is an isolated fire, because clearly at the end of the day, if there's any kind of fire in an apartment and it's large enough, it doesn't matter if there's 100 million pieces of paper on the stacked up, or, one big couch that just catches on fire. It's only, almost a total loss half the time, at least smoke damage wise or water damage. So,
Tom, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for getting us started. Cheryl in Lee Summit. Hello, Cheryl.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Well, I was a young apartment manager in the Plaza area back in the 70s and 80s, and we would make yearly inspections, and we would also tell the maintenance man if they went in there and saw something unusual and dangerous to let me know. And then another thing is the exterminator. If you have your apartments, being exterminated once a month or every couple months, then they could also tell you. And a landlord needs to have something written into the lease or the rental agreement about conditions. And everything has to, of course, be legal, but the apartment association in Kansas City can guide people about things like that. But, the first time I ever saw that, I was probably, in my late 20s, and there was just a path to this person's in their apartment, and it's just a one spot for a body, on a full size bed, and the rest of the bed was covered, and it was just alarming. and dangerous. And yes, a landlord, I believe, has an obligation to the other people that are connected to a unit
yes.
like that. And I just think you can't not. I evicted that person.
Because of the hoard?
Because of the hoarding. And, you know, and then, you know, it took a full-size dumpster. I'll never forget it. The yep. full-size dumpster to clean out everything out of that apartment. And it was just like a one-bedroom apartment.
How many years ago was this, Cheryl?
This was back in the 70s okay. and 80s.
Okay.
And it is now classified as a mental health disorder.
I just found this. Listen, hoarding is now considered a disability.
Yep.
And so people with a hoarding disorder are a protected class mm-hmm. under the Fair Housing Act. For this reason, Scott, property owners cannot evict a tenant based solely on hoarding activity. However, a tenant may be evicted for violating one or more terms of the lease. So the way I read this, if you own a house and you rent that house out and someone hoards that sucker from floor to ceiling, they are protected by the Fair Housing Act.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wow.
And so if you were to write it into an apartment contract, if indeed it is, and I was just looking that up too, is hoarding considered a mental health disorder? And the answer is yes. It is now classified as a mental health disorder. Therefore, to discriminate against somebody kicking them out of their apartment or a rented house because they're a hoarder could fly in the face of protected class, being that it is a disability, and therefore you can't even write into the contract that they can be kicked out for hoarding.
However, in most states, the landlord has a responsibility to provide a, quote, habitable dwelling. It's called the warranty of habitability and is implied in nearly every standard lease agreement. In exchange, most states require tenants to keep their units clean and sanitary. If someone's hoarding interferes with either party's ability to carry out their respective duties, it could mean you can take action. But the way I read this, you can't say it's because of the hoarding.
So you're, hang on just a second, Sam. Your hoarding then is protected so long as you don't attract roaches and rats.
Well, or you're not blocking emergency exits or doorways.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like my rights only extend as far as they don't interfere with yours. And if my hoarding is bringing rats and roaches and
yes.
fecal matter and whatever else into your home, I am now infringing on your
because
rights.
You're creating a hazard for the people who live around you.
Let's go to Eric in Kansas City. Eric, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, man.
Well, I'd have to say Dana's right on this one. I'm an exterminator, and as you can imagine, I see everything as far as hoarding and bugs and roaches, and I'm in apartments daily. I've had to work firsthand with a couple evictions before, and you guys are right. They cannot evict because of the hoarding, but when it comes to codes violations or when it comes to fire hazards or the roaches and rats are just so bad, it's infecting the units around them.
But isn't, let me ask you this, Eric, isn't hoarding in and of itself, no matter what you call it, creating a hazardous environment? And I know you can't kick them out for the hoard, but but if you are blocking the emergency exits or the sprinklers or it's infested with roaches because of the hoard, how can you not evict somebody based on that?
Your hoarding's not going out into the hallway.
Well,
your hoarding was usually confined to your apartment.
To me, it's the emergency exits where they can get you. If there's no egress or way in or out, can you not be evicted for that?
Well, I'll tell you the number one. I work hand in hand with a lot of property managers, and you know we'll walk around to the units together sometimes. And the number one answer every time we run into a hoarding situation is fire code.
Yep.
Every time. Every single time, that's how they get them. It's because fire code, and it's a easy way to get the problem solved.
We're not kicking you out because of the hoard. We're kicking you out because you're violating every fire code known to man.
And understand that this happened at an apartment in Overland Park, 117th and Schweitzer. What if you rent a house?
Same thing, Scott. Well, it's the same. The
emergency
cannot
exit to your house would just be the doors or a window.
From the text line, I was hired to clean out a house in Roland Park, cleaned out 12 tons of trash.
576-7798. Quick break for the news. It is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We'll check the news and get back to your calls, your comments here on Dana and Parks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU.
4832 on the text line writes, I live in this complex, presumably the one that where the fire was this morning in Overland Park. Two police officers were injured, and the apartment, we're to believe, was hoarded. I live in this complex. They have regular inspections and exterminator visits. I cannot believe that this happened. Let's go to the hotline. Jason Rhodes with the Overland Park Fire Department joining us on the hotline. Mr. Rhodes, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, Jason.
Good afternoon.
It is always good to hear your voice. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Agreed.
Can you describe, first of all, how did you know that this fire had started? And then what did fire and police find when they tried to get in?
Yeah, so our crews, Overland Park Fire, Olathe Fire, and Leawood Fire were all called to an apartment fire at the Casa de Bonte's apartments just before 11 o'clock. First crews arrived, and they did see smoke showing from a ground-level apartment in a two-story apartment building. And my understanding is PD was assisting with evacuations at that point. Two of those officers were later transported to an area hospital with smoke inhalation, probably sustained during those evacuation efforts.
And you also said, Jason, that part of the reason that this was so frantic, not only because of the horde, but because you did not know when you first went in whether the woman who lived there was trapped inside.
Right. So typically at a fire scene like that, well, crews are making initial fire attack and doing searches. There are other folks outside, either police or fire, who are connecting with residents, trying to account for everyone. So during that process, they were able to account for everyone in the building except for the resident of that apartment. And so at that point, all we can do is presume that that resident may still be in the unit.
Yeah.
That definitely takes things up a notch. So our folks immediately went to work, and the problem they found was that the contents in that apartment were piled so high in front of the doors and windows in particular that they weren't able to access the apartment, literally physically unable to access the apartment.
They couldn't even get in.
Correct. We're able to take out some windows and glass doors in the back, and at that point, heavy smoke emanating from the apartment, they began a process of grabbing contents and basically clearing the way to try and just get to the fire. And that took a considerable amount of effort to even get to a point where they could see fire and get a hose stream on it and start knocking fire down. So even though they were able to accomplish that, they're still not even inside the unit. They're doing all this from outside. The contents were that numerous. And, of course, not knowing that that resident is unaccounted for, or knowing that that resident was currently unaccounted for, we're still in rescue mode. We're still trying to figure out how we can go through that apartment and do a search. So just a great deal of consternation and a great deal of frustration on our part. And it's, quite frankly, it's dangerous for all involved. If the resident is in there, extremely dangerous for them, obviously, and very dangerous for our crews trying to do the job that they need to do. So it's a real tough situation today.
We're speaking with Jason Rhodes with the Overland Park Fire Department. Jason, we've had conversations on this show in the past about departments in the Kansas City area who, if they realize that a home or an apartment is a hoarder's home or apartment, will make a note when they get back to the office so that in the future, if they have to go to a fire at that location, they will know what they're heading into. Does the Overland Park Fire Department do this sort of hoarder flagging, if you will, for lack of a better term? And if you do, did you know that this apartment was such?
So my understanding is that we didn't have any information that warned us of that in advance. However, I would say that we would try to take that one step further, and that is our crews come into contact with residents every day. Whether that's a fire call, whether that's a medical call, which quite frankly is much more common than a fire call, whether that's a public education appearance, however it is that we come into contact with folks, if we recognize situations in which people need assistance in whether it's a hoarding disorder or some kind of personal care issue or whatever the issue may be, our folks are going to reach out, and we're going to connect with some of the co-responders or mental health task force or any of the resources, social services, anything that's available in the area. And we're going to try and get those folks connected with people who can try to help because we recognize that that's not a healthy situation for them to be in either.
Do you train specifically, Jason? Do the firefighters train specifically for hoarded house conditions?
It's not a firefighting tactic that you can really train for. It is literally just a hazard that you encounter that you've got to mitigate at the time. And so, you know, our folks are just in a situation where they've got to try and clear a path to get inside that apartment to extinguish a fire and search for victims. And there's really no easy way to do that. Short of heavy equipment, which is not practical at the time.
And she's been located and she is okay. She was not in the apartment at the time.
Yeah, correct. Resident police located the resident off-site. She's safe and sound, thank God, thank goodness. And so at the end of the day, she's fine. None of our folks sustained injury, so we all came out of this okay. We've got a couple of police officers, though, that had a trip to the hospital with smoke inhalation. That is serious. We have a number of residents who are displaced now because of a fire, and we certainly have the potential for things to go sideways with this kind of hazard. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that we want to chastise a person for or belittle them for in any way, shape, or form. Despite causing all of these problems, this is a clinical disorder, and it's something that more people than we probably realize suffer from. You know, we see this in plenty of places that we visit for fire calls and medical calls. And so it's really about asking the rest of us who don't suffer from this disorder to, you know, be your brother's keeper, right? If you have a family member or a friend or an acquaintance, or if you live next to somebody and you get an inkling that something like this is going on in their lives, you need to reach out. You need to first, you know, start with them and see if they're willing to seek some assistance. And if not, you need to try and connect them with someone who can get some assistance to them.
Have you guys, I know it's early, but have you guys been able to determine a cause?
We have not. Fire investigators are on the scene and they're doing their thing right now. But quite frankly, it's going to be a very difficult fire to investigate, again, because of the conditions.
All right, Jason Rhodes with the Overland Park Fire Department. Do appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
And this just in from John Lacey over at Overland Park. Both officers are in stable condition and will be released from the hospital later tonight. Families have been notified. The officers arrived on that scene first, and as Jason just mentioned, did not know if the lady was inside. They pounded on the door, then breached the door. Both officers suffered smoke inhalation. And again, as for the hoarding, he says that's a mental health condition, and we will be following up on that.
You know, and I recognize that this has moved into the realm of mental health disorder. I cannot, and maybe it's because it's relatively new classification, I cannot wrap my hands around this.
Well,
I don't understand it.
It makes me angry, and I think there are listeners who are feeling that anger because, A, it's hard to understand how you could let that situation get so bad, but B, it is unsafe for those around you, and as we have seen, if something goes wrong, it is desperately unsafe for the firefighters and police officers mm-hmm. who are there doing their job trying to get you out. They don't even know if you're in there because the conditions are so bad. And it turns out these two officers are hurt. She wasn't even home.
And you've watched the show Hoarders. They know that they have this mental health
problem. Well, I don't know that not all of them. They look at that hoard, Scott, and they don't see it.
You're right on that point. But when you're saying, Mom, you know, you've got to throw this stuff away. I know. But, you know, that's from, you know, 20 years ago and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's a damn newspaper. It's a newspaper. Rick in Spring Hill. Rick, hello.
Hey, brother. Thank you so much. A longtime listener. This is my first time to visit with both you guys. But I was driving home this afternoon. It definitely hit a nerve for me because my mom, we moved her up here from Ocala, Florida in 2010 after my dad had passed away a couple years earlier. And she kept a meticulous home. Not cluttered, nothing. When we got her here, some of her mental capacities had declined because of depression and other things. And before you know it, she was becoming a hoarder in the facility that she was at. We had her in a great independent place in Olathe, great staff there. The issue we had was that every time my wife and I would visit her and say, hey, you know, Mom, you got stuff that's cluttering and piling up. And I mean, I'm being kind in the process here, but it was bad. And
right.
They don't recognize, as I was listening to you guys just talking just now, they don't recognize that that is a clutter, that's a mess. And I heard you guys talking earlier before you visited with the Overland Park Fire Department. The facilities, their hands are kind of tied because they can give you warnings, they can write you up, but it's really hard to enforce. And then where the situation in my mom's facility, she passed in January of 2019, but just 3 months before she passed, she had this clutter on top of the stove. She thought she turned the oven on, and needless to say, the top of the stove got on fire, and thank goodness the Olathe Fire Department got there quickly before that got out of hand. And the only thing the facility could do at that point was to say, hey, we can take the stove out of the apartment, and we don't have to put another one in because of the safety because of your mom. So,
But Rick, after the fire even, she did not recognize what a hazard this was?
No, and here's the kick, Dana, is that her grandson, so my oldest, is a firefighter here in Johnson County, and he had multiple conversations with his grandmother, and that's the part of the disease. And don't get me wrong, my wife and I, every time we wanted to take something out, and when I say that, she was clean. She never kept trash or anything else, but it was all the stuff that she bought she never wanted to get rid of and just piled up. And so I want to say she was clean. I don't know if it was a difference between a clean hoarder or a bad hoarder or whatever else.
Right.
But the point is this, that they don't recognize it because, and again, as an adult child trying to get your elderly parent to understand this, it was a struggle.
Hey,
it really was. Very quickly,
Rick, because we got to get to a quick break, but when I watched the show, and that's my only real point of reference on this disorder, is the show Hoarders, there seems to be the common link that there was a loss of some fashion in the past.
Yeah, trauma.
Was there something that happened to your mom? You said she was very tidy.
We lost my dad suddenly. When he was 69, he went in for a quick procedure. Went horribly wrong. 2 weeks later, he passed. And so it was unexpected. They were married for over 50 years. And it just traumatized her that she struggled to move forward, Scott. And then it was just a continual mental decline over the remaining years that she had left. And don't get me wrong, we were very close with her and all that. But just getting her to recognize it. So I just wanted to share that story with you guys today. I appreciate you guys. I know, as you said it was more about the fire, but you hit a nerve today with me personally, because again, it's something I struggled that I couldn't get my mom over. So I thank you guys for covering that again today.
Rick, thank you for your honesty, and we are so sorry about the loss of your mom and your dad. And you hear it's almost futility.
Like, you're trying to help. Yeah.
After a fire on the stove, mom, and they don't see it or don't understand it or recognize it.
Well, and it gets to the point that they are willing to even make up an excuse about why they need that item. Oh, I was going to give that to so-and-so for a birthday gift. Well, mom, that they're 17 now. Like, this baby toy isn't really a great gift anymore.
576-7798. We'll get to more of your calls, your comments in just a moment. Jason and the others, hang tight. You're next here on Dana and Parks.
I remember when I lost my
Let's get right back to the phones. See if we can't get everybody in before the top of the hour. Jason in Independence. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing? Last caller actually nailed it pretty good. I just wanted to call and try to give you guys an idea. My mother was a hoarder, and my mother-in-law is a hoarder. Before my mother passed, when she was a kid, she went through horrific abuse and not neglect and such. You know, she had told me about times where she had a mustard sandwich for dinner, and other times where she got beat for strangers giving her food.
Oh, God.
So not being able to have things when she was young, and even the common basic things that people would need, that made her to where she just couldn't let anything go.
Yeah.
And then my mother-in-law, I don't know her story very well, but I suspect her divorce had something to do with it. And what I've seen in people is, they're broken people, and they just suffer a loss that sends them to a point where they just cannot let things go.
Yeah.
All right. The only hoarding apartment I've ever been in was the one that I cleaned back in the 90s when I was in college. And, you know, maybe there are different arenas of hoarding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the people who save the sentimental stuff and the gifts. And
then there's pets.
Because you heard one of the previous callers said, you know, my mom didn't hoard junk, she just hoarded. And the only time I've ever been in close contact with hoarding was that one apartment, and they hoarded crap. I mean, there was a half-eaten turkey just left to rot on the counter. There were newspapers. It was almost as if the trash, they had, you know, bagged trash and then just emptied it out into the living room. And I don't know if there are different classifications of hoarding, the sentimental hoarder versus the trash hoarder or what. I don't get it. I'm not saying it's not a disorder. I just don't understand it. Mike in Kansas City. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, man.
Hey, previous caller was kind of talking about hoarders, and I just kind of had a little side thought on it. And my in-laws are in their 70s and 80s, and I would say their house is a tinderbox because one match and it would just go up incredibly quick. But my in-laws grew up dirt poor, and they're very well off now. But when you grew up dirt poor, you didn't throw out anything because you may have a reuse for it.
Sure.
And so they never got rid of anything because they might have to use it someday. And so when I address this with them, my mother-in-law just says, well, you know, we're that way. We're not going to change. And when we're gone, you're going to have to deal with it.
And it's true, Mike. That is true.
And it's just another variant of it. But, I mean, I don't consider them having any kind of issues or anything, calling them hoarders. But just when you're brought up that way and that's your thinking and you don't have any resources, you definitely just hang on to everything because there might be a need for it someday.
Do you tell them?
I'm sorry?
Do you tell them?
Yes, I've had conversations. And she basically says, you know, when we're gone, it's going to be your problem. I'll have to clean out the house at some point.
Or Mike, have a conversation with them about this fire today. Because the fear is that house goes up, they would never be able to get out, and it makes it very, very difficult for firefighters and police to get in.
Last word goes to Brian in Olathe. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, we have some properties in the state of Indiana, but one of the houses we bought, they actually set of duplexes. The lady that lived there, she worked for the state crime lab, and her house was full of books and magazines and all kinds of paperwork. It was just stacked with just the past. It wasn't necessarily garbage. It was just a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've had another one where the lady, I believe, is probably going through some sort of postpartum because she'd had a baby, and the house was full of trash, like dirty diapers and dirty laundry and stuff like that. And that house got so bad that we had to move them out. Well, we moved, cleaned them out. We couldn't kick them out. So we cleaned it out and then exterminated, and then they moved back in, and eventually they moved out on their own.
Brian, what was the cost to clean it out?
Oh, well, I did it on my own, so it was just my time, which, you know, is what it is. But I had a one-ton dump truck at the time, so, you know, it was two loads of that. So, but it was bags of stuff. I mean, even the garage, they had bagged the stuff up, but then they just piled the bags up. And it was just kind of, that was the dirty one.
Yeah.
And then
Brian, we lost you there, but thank you for the call. What bothers me about that scenario is if you are in your 70s and you want to hoard, I worry about the safety of others around you. That's on you. You have a baby in a hoard. You can face all kinds of issues for that. If they can prove it is an unsafe environment for that child, you can lose your child over that.
Did you hear what he said, though? He said, we just threw it in a dump truck. Actually, there were two of them. Dump trucks full.
Two one-ton dump trucks.
From the text line, my mother-in-law is a sentimental hoarder. She will not throw out a greeting card. For that reason, I don't send her cards. Will Willie Gay be playing for the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday? Dan Weinbaum lets you know at the top of the hour news coming up in just a moment here on KMBZ.
And I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you.
Oh, had the time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.